I'd like to talk to you now about a good workable routine procedure with a few minor examples on how it's run. The entire work of Scientology has been devoted to discovering various methods of improving a level of existence and then communicating those methods in such a way that they could be duplicated by people on people. And this is the effort involved in Scientology. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting to note that many procedures have come up and many procedures have fallen away. We find some of those procedures useful in the hands of auditors and some of them not so useful. And we find at the base of every one of them, which actually addressed phenomena intimately, an inability on the part of the auditor to communicate it to the pre-clear, or an inability to communicate it to the auditor so that he could communicate it to the pre-clear. In other words, this is a communication problem, all right? If that's a communication problem, then in essence it must follow that you would have to have the actual agreements and basics of existence itself before you got down to a good solid job of communication. This is a rather terrible fact to confront. You start out to help somebody, and you wind up having to solve the whole doggone pie before you can get anybody to cut a piece of it. It's an imposition, actually, on any science to have to wrap itself up. Science is usually content to start with some assumption, no matter how absurd, codify it, so that it's good and definite, and then go along its merry way with a certain level of workability, and everybody's happy about it. But this is not what happened in Scientology. What happened in Scientology is you had to go for broke, and that was that. There are people who 4 years ago started in with Dianetics who found that although there seemed to be a great many truths in Dianetics, yet found no real personal benefit from its existence. And then there were people who discovered that it actually obviously was pushing them downhill. They had elected its cause. And then there were, fortunately, a very great many people who benefited very markedly from the work itself. Well, there was another breed of cat here who, although he benefited a little bit from it, didn't consider anything really was happening on it, and who considered he had been betrayed. He had been betrayed, very definitely, because his case was not being solved. Somebody said one time, "O ye of little faith," which is exactly what's wrong with the guy, you see. I mean, his level of trust is out the bottom. The truth of the matter is that if he started in Dianetics in 1949, 1950, if he started at that time, his case was started on at that time. And as cases began to present themselves, incredible cases, incredible phenomena began to present itself, pre-clear after pre-clear, the rather orderly progress of the work which had led up to the 1947 Scientology, a New Science, was thrown widely and radically aside. Because, in the first place, one doesn't discover in the society at large a preponderance of difficult cases. They are not in the majority. One has to look hard for these cases to really find them. And we started getting all the cases there were, you might say, that were really rough. Because here we had very sane, rather able men who were yet unable to execute certain minor mental gymnastics, which, in the execution, rendered them considerably more able. But look, for the first time, we were not researching amongst the psychotics and neurotics to find out about the mind. We were just simply searching amongst the tough guys of the society, the survivor types, The guys who never would have pulled in, really, toward very close to psychotherapy, and if they had pulled in, it would be as a practitioner, not as a patient. You see, this was the level of ability that we confronted, and these were very agile and very often very brilliant men. And they presented problems in terms of phenomena which were brain-shattering. Fortunately, one didn't have to use a brain to solve these problems. Otherwise, the corrugations therein would have become too complex for any mappery. Now, the fact of the matter is that when their cases were presented, every time one of these difficult cases was presented, every time one of these difficult problems was presented, every time a non-sequitur showed up, where a theory was demonstrated to diverge from actuality, the science itself took a small or a large step forward. Because here was a problem in observation and communication. And observation itself is a problem of communication. And so the actuality is, if anybody's case was started on in 1949 or 1950, as long as the science was making a forward progress, that case was itself making forward progress in that coming into existence were processes which would bring about the relief of that case. How that case could have been solved, or that class of cases could have been solved without presenting themselves, without presenting itself to a good, solid review and observation and reevaluation and practice, no one knows. It would have had to have been done by necromancy, which, as near as I can find out, was the way all research was conducted in the field of psychotherapy in the mind prior to this science. A fellow dreamed up a theory, and if it was complex enough and gave him enough significance in life, and friends patted him on the back, and he felt he could pat himself on the back, he went racing around the world saying how wonderful his theory was. He wanted the theory to survive. Well, we didn't go into it in that direction. Every case which started into solution, in the hands of whatever auditor, from 1949 forward, remained in a condition of resolution. That is to say, it was being resolved, whether it was being worked upon or not. It had presented its difficulties. Its difficulties were known, and it was being fitted into a mass of data. It would be a very, very happy day indeed when that case would be resolved finally. But the case couldn't have been resolved if it didn't present itself, and even though it withdrew from all conduct along the lines of this science, it nevertheless remained in solution. And this life or the next one would swing back to the benefit of this science. Now, we're not trying to demonstrate that all things have a purpose and all roads lead to Rome or anything like that. But one cannot confront with a great deal of understanding completely the tremendous feeling on the part of some that betrayal or something of that character was in the mind of the auditor who didn't solve the case, or in my mind that didn't solve the case. Nothing could be further from fact, because the case remained in solution. And it had to add up to this. It had to add up to a solution which would ably parallel the exact line of agreement which a person had entered upon, which placed him exactly in the condition which he is now in. And that condition would have to be known exactly, and then processes would have to exist which, one, I could communicate to an auditor, two, which an auditor could communicate to other auditors, three, which could be communicated easily to the preclear, and four, and most important, but still the end product of this line, which the bank, the reactive mind of the preclear, could then restore within itself. Had to be processes with which the reactive mind of the preclear could restore, or have restored in it, by the self-determinants of the preclear, a complete simplified, easily understood communication system. And we've gone the whole gamut. Because what's wrong with a man in the final analysis? He can't communicate with himself or his fellows. And he has in himself a composite of beingness, which makes it impossible for one part of him to communicate with another part of him. And therefore, we have to have a basic simplicity of communication which would permit an analytical mind to communicate straight through such a thing as a reactive mind and yet control and handle bodies, beingness, or life itself. And we get down to this problem of what can be communicated. If these processes can be communicated to you, then the possibility is, the highest probability is, that they will communicate through a preclear. You see, if you can audit them, they work. If they were communicated to you in this fashion, and they did communicate and arrive as a communication, and you did use them, then they should communicate within the preclear himself, and so he can attain any potentiality which he has. Now, that's simple enough, isn't it? Therefore, any time we have had a process which didn't fully communicate, it wouldn't fully communicate in the preclear's own banks, would it? All right. This wouldn't even mean that an individual would have to come into a full and entire understanding of every datum he ran across. This one we learned early, that the discovery of every datum in the life of an individual was an idle pursuit. Every individual has lived to some degree a different course than every other individual. Whatever their basic differences are and their basic individualities, it certainly becomes definite that they are two different people because they have had two different experiences in walking down the street side by side. The same street, the same two people, they evidently see the same things as they walk down that street, but they don't. There is that difference of viewpoint which brings about a difference of experience. And whatever different personality they might have had, or whatever different, you might say, quantity of or quality of, or any way you want to measure it, of beingness to begin with, or theta to begin with, added to it would have been tremendously different courses of experience, wouldn't there? Just in the course of living 5 minutes, the same room full of people listening to the same thing has very different experiences. And so that great divergency of experience must itself succumb to a common denominator of all experience. And without common denominators in terms of behavior and experience, we wouldn't get communication simply because we get this tremendous divergence of experience. Going for the data itself, fortunately, is not necessary today. Not only not necessary, but it will actually impede and hang up a case. Because there's so much data, there is so much that could be said to be knowable, that the discovery of the few little things which everybody knows in common was very difficult, merely because of the quantity which one had to examine in order to discover these little ones. But why are we looking for these little experiences, these common denominators which everybody has in common? Why are we looking for those? Because we're looking for the agreements which made a person part of a rather condensed culture and in which he is no longer completely self-determined. So by finding these little common denominators, one of course finds the points of agreement all up and down the line. And if one has all these points of agreement, then cases resolve. And if one doesn't have, cases don't resolve. All right. Our problem in terms of communication has become relatively simple. The processes which are summating at this moment and which appear to be not only easily communicated to a professional auditor, or one who's been practiced for a long time, but are easily communicatable to individuals that you commonly meet in the street, whatever terminology you use, appear in a series of processes which we can call just routine processing. Well, that's not a title. See, we're just calling this is just routine processing. This is what you as a professional auditor would do if you had a preclear sitting down in front of you. If a preclear sits down in front of you, what do you do? Well, we would take the simplest things we knew what to do. Why would we take these? Because we were trying to shoot the basic agreements which he has with the rest of the human race. That's what'll echo inside his bank, because there's where all the other determinism is. Self-determinism and other determinism cannot merge to such a degree that other determinism overcomes self-determinism unless there's been an agreement. And so, we'll just have to shoot this business of agreement. It'd be very nice, and there are lots of experimental processes that work like this. You mock up a tremendous number of people all agreeing upon a certain thing, and then a tremendous number of people agreeing on something else, and a tremendous number of people agreeing. You repeat it several times. You can vary the perception of an individual, but the process itself is limited in its workability since it is addressed only to the pre-clear zone universe. So we must address processes actually to three universes before we get a workable process. Ease of communication. And that's why, and with all this preamble to a relatively simple process, that's why I am asking you to work this as simply as it is given to you in order to discover whether or not it does the communication job for your pre-clear in this simple form. And then, occasionally, work it nice and complex as you're a student, and only while you're a student, just to find out how poorly it communicates and how badly it does the job of resolving an aberration. Just work it complexly once in a while to find out what can happen, because you've immediately bypassed the ability of the analytical mind to trace the course of anything through the reactive mind. Above all these things is consideration. And the first consideration of the pre-clear is that he is out of communication somehow, somewhere, and with what he doesn't even know. He's even gotten to the point where he doesn't know who he is. He's just to the point, really, where he doesn't know who he is, much less who he's communicating with. He doesn't know what's communicating with him, or who is communicating with him, or why it's communicating, and he doesn't know what the lags are, so forth. And this is your standard state for Homo sapiens, so don't think it's very peculiar. Just because you can tell a fellow to be 3 feet back of your head, he all of a sudden orients himself and is able to communicate and cure the body. Don't think that Homo sapiens was in a state where he knew what he was communicating with. He didn't. It was one of the discoveries of Scientology that an individual was an energy production unit which was not a body. That discovery alone, of course, stretches out and straightens out a tremendous number of communication lines. But what about all these individuals that you don't get under this circumstance? Where you say, be 3 feet back of your head, and the individual isn't 3 feet back of his head. He's still lost. Well, let's just take all cases, just for the devil of it, and process them with something we call routine processes, just on the basis that this specific phenomenon is known to us, is not necessarily known to the pre-clear, and that if we're processing straight, it happens to be true that this is the condition, exteriorization will, of course, take place. Just as simply as that. It will take place. In other words, truth will occur if the untruths and cross-truths and so forth are processed out. That's the basic theory. Truth will appear if you process toward truth. So, we'll go at it this way. We take an individual. He knows he's out of communication. If he knows anything else, this one he does know. He knows he's out of communication, and he also knows he doesn't like this. This is about, of course, it follows on the ARC triangle that if he's out of communication, he won't like it. Maybe the very best thing in the world for this individual, the very, very best thing in the world for this individual is to be completely out of communication with the whole human race for a few months. But, no, he doesn't like being out of communication because, of course, he doesn't like, just doesn't like, stimulus response. Well, if this individual is having trouble, he's out of communication. So what's the first thing you're going to do? Communication runs two ways when it becomes a conversation. Now, you don't have to have a conversation to have a communication. But it's nice when you have a pre-clear. So we say two-way communication. The very first thing you do may be one of the most therapeutic rises which the pre-clear will have for the next few hours of processing. Somebody is interested in him. He gets convinced of this because a communication is taking place. Well, we don't care what kind of a communication. If you take a psychotic, you just have to go to the basic definition of communication. C to E. You just let him be C. How do you let a psychotic be C? He throws himself on the floor and screams. You throw yourself on the floor and scream. You're in communication with him. Just basic by definition. You can figure that out that easy. All right. Now, by letting the preclear communicate to you, you hit actually the most likely line to open up communication lines. Therefore, let's talk to him. Now, how are you going to open up a conversation with a preclear? Well, I have a funny one. I open up conversation with a preclear I'm having any difficulty with and who isn't easily in good communication anyway. I say, now, let me show you how you can help me in this processing. I let them help in the processing. That's very, very easy. Therefore, he's obviously contributing something to the session. He gets interested. He gets interested. He didn't know there was such a thing as the preclear's code. He thought it was all up to you, the auditor. And I have a tendency to put him in a slight discipline. I'll put him in as much of a discipline as it's necessary to get him talking. See, just by this, a slight discipline, we say, oh, well, now as a preclear, sit in the chair and try to stay awake. Now, that's how you can help me, just try to stay awake on this basis. And you can also help me by putting your attention on various things which I call to your mind. So they don't know what I'm going to do, you know. This is going to help you out, they say. Any way you want to go about it. It's very hard to open up a generalized line just beyond saying that you want the preclear to do something for you. Now, this is the other way around. This is immediately reversed what he came in there to do. He came in there to make you do everything for him. And you get a two-way impulse the second that you say, well, why don't you help me? You could go to tremendous extremes this way, but you should never go into the environmental, healthy, wealthy therapy. I think that's the name of it, healthy, wealthy therapy, which they use in sanitariums, which is to say they let all the patients help. Which is to say, they stand over them with a club and say, damn you, mop that floor. This is letting them help. They basically got an idea there, but they don't let it work. Now, they go in and, did you ever try to have a little kid help you when he, at the same time, he really knew he wasn't helping you? You agreed on a dishonesty, didn't you? Yeah, that's an untruth. And if you're going to process in any direction, you'd better process toward truth, because every universe this fellow is mixed up in has gone toward untruth. You see, in order to make it more complicated and get more significance into everything, it had to get the lion as the devil, and that's his case. So let's go toward truth, and let's not do this pat on the hand sort of a, well, I'll let you help me. Now, you just go over there and sit and look out the window and make sure that something or other, you know, you could almost anything. Why don't you teach me how to speak Spanish, which you speak very well? You know, anything that's untrue like that. No, just lay it on the line. Now, the biggest way you can help me is keep your damn mouth shut. And the fellow says, this fellow's sort of tough, he's mean, so forth. Well, all right. Okay. Now, you keep your mouth shut when I'm talking. And then when I stop talking, you start talking. Now, that's how you can help me. I told a psycho this one time, and it came through as a brand new idea that people talked one after the other consecutively. Now, in view of the fact that we're not processing psychotics, you're going to think that you're in communication with a preclear when you darn well aren't. What you've hit is his polite button. How are you? I'm okay. Nice day, isn't it? No, it's not a nice day. Yes, it's a nice day. Let's talk about roads, good roads and good weather. Everybody's in favor of those, and we can have a nice communication and get no plays. No, so you'd want a more intimate topic, and it's one which you'd better darn well, one of these beta processes, you beta do it. horrible. That's Jim's joke, not mine. Anyway, no responsibility. What you'd better do when you get a pre-clear from any place is to find out if he's got a present time problem. Because people will, they will just process like mad into the past. They will go further and further and further into the past. And they'll process further and further and wider out from here. Because what? They got a present time problem which they're terrified to face. They've just been arrested, and in 3 days they're going to face a trial, and you'll find them happily processing their life as a Saracen. You'll find them just doing a wonderful time of doing a change of space on Mars, or preferably not Mars, maybe some other galaxy. In other words, what you're processing is a let's get away from it. All right? You may be processing such a case and never know it, and the case may fall apart in your hands just by you letting the fellow talk for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours on his present time process. I mean, present time problem. The guy is so overwrought about present time, he wants to get away from it, and a good way to get away from it is go on back down the track someplace and forget it. And the only place he can live or is really alive is in present time. And so, of course, the definition to come to present time is utterly defeated. He can't be in present time. It's too stressful for him. His husband has just left her, or her wife has just left her, as happens in Hollywood all the time. And you'd just never suspect that anything like this had gone on. Unless you asked the fellow. Surprising thing what people will tell you. One time, pre-clear had been processed for about 125 hours. And he came in, and I found out that never at any time had any auditor ever let him talk. So I just sat down and let him talk for half an hour, and he got up, and he felt wonderful, and he went away, and he wrote me a long letter about the wonderful processing which I gave him. He just sat down and talked about all the trouble he'd had with auditors. He felt wonderful about it when he went away. I didn't even direct his attention in any direction. That's all there was to it. Just because auditors had never let him talk. And this was all he talked about, by the way. He just talked about auditors never letting him talk. And what he was doing was just blowing locks by masses all up and down the track. Got him into present time. He was stuck all over the time track every time somebody tried to stop him from talking. So, we got a two-way communication system going. The best way to get it going and get into the life of the pre-clear and get him really convinced that you're interested in him and that you're really addressing him, not some mock-up that walks up and down the street and tips its hat politely. You're really interested in the guy is to have him talk about his present-time problem, and that's about the most obvious thing that you could do, present-time problem. You just assume he's got a present-time problem just to get him to talk. I had an awful argument with a pre-clear one time trying to convince him he had a present-time problem. We were sure in communication when we got through. I wasn't arguing with him overtly, but I just said it was incredible that somebody didn't have a present-time problem. He told me about some past problems, but he didn't have a present-time problem. And we went on like this, and finally it developed that he did have a present-time problem. That made me happy and just made him discover something. He was bored stiff. That was his present-time problem. And then we got into, of course, the fact that being bored stiff, he was hung up on the time track someplace. And that's, of course, the usual condition. So one of the best ways to free somebody up on the time track would be two ways to do it. One is asking for some things he's not stuck in. That frees up somebody. But a much more able way to do it, because you may be processing that sleeper, is the next last list of self-analysis. And if you just started your sessions off that way and salted your sessions down with any kind of a process like this, you'd be well off. But the best way to go about it is to get him to talk about a present-time problem. And because you've then been talking, let's get him up and get him to move around and go into opening procedure. See? Opening procedure. 8C. And then, next to last list, self-analysis. And then, viewpoint straight wire. And viewpoint straight wire. You see, there's an ARC part of viewpoint straight wire, which you'd rather tend to process rather soon in the case, and then go over into finding out how fast you can get him through these various barriers. When you got him straightened out a little bit, why get him through the rest of the barriers on the line? You'll always find him stuck below the effort barrier. If you continue to do this, if you handle this as a process, if it communicates to you, it'll communicate to the pre-clear. So that's the process I want you to use.